Hey, AfterBuzzers, you're tuned in to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Ray Donovan, Season 4, Episode 1, Girl with Guitar. Join me as I break down the episode and give you my thoughts and predictions. Let's go!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Yes. The only appropriate tune for tonight's episode. Karis Dorsey sang this song, covered this song in Moneyball, and here she is, the girl with the guitar, to lead off Ray Donovan Season 4. Welcome on in, everybody. I am your lead host, Frank Majorana. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Go Frank M. I promise there will be more hosts and more panelists as the season goes along. Unfortunately, my co-panelists tonight had other commitments, but they will be back next week. As I will be off for July 4th. So happy Independence Day to everybody out there. But in the meantime, we've got a great episode. It's summertime. Ray Donovan is back. Game of Thrones is over. So you can now turn your TV eyes to Ray Donovan, which in my opinion is tied for first with Game of Thrones as the best show on TV. So season four kicked off with a fantastic episode. It was directed by Liev Schreiber himself. And I thought from a directorial point of view, the style with which he executed at least the beginning portions of this episode was incredible. If you looked closely, you could see the structure trying to achieve that Ray is everywhere at once. Not only are we seeing him now at his current events where he is a recovered human being, he's at, you know, the survivors of abuse from priests, Survivors Network of Abusive Priests, victims of abusive priests. And he's out opening up to a group of people, which we've never seen from Ray Donovan before. And yet at the same time, we were treated to flashbacks of Ray's past, the immediate aftermath after he passed out in the confessional at the end of last season. So we got a little bit of everything, but I thought the point of all of that structure was to, you know, make us feel like Ray is just everywhere. He is everywhere at once and is stretched so thin that he really, really is trying to put himself back together, but he ultimately just can't quite get there. And I think that's what's going to be the overarching theme to this season. You know, Ray is trying to be a reformed man. He is, you know, sitting with group with his brother, with Bunchy, which I thought was really cool that they bonded over that experience together. But as we saw with the events of this episode, Ray went back to drinking to get, Hector Campos out of a difficult situation, framed a police officer for DWI by crashing it and then crashing a police car and then moving the police officer over to the driver's seat. So Ray is kind of right back at it. But then in what I thought was the most touching part of this episode is when Ray shows up for dinner with his family and he's overcome with emotion and says, you know, I love all of you. And that really touched me. It's one of the scenes that stuck with me as I woke up today and was thinking about this episode. It was really nice to see, and we can see the character growing. And this is why Liev Schreiber is just so great. He's so perfect in this role, and he's so talented that he can take a scene and make a bold choice and take you in a different direction than you had thought that he was going in. So I thought just overall, my general thoughts just coming to mind about this episode was that, you know, Liev Schreiber, he did it again. And he's done a really, really great job with the character. And so I can't wait to see what this season has in store for him. We did get to see that he has a new friend, and that's Hector Campos, who came in, who knows Father Romero, came in on his helicopter and met with Ray. That whole setup was a little bit confusing to me because I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of Ray and Hector's relationship growing because we kind of got to see where Hector takes Ray out to Big Bear and they have a conversation or two. But the later events of the episode suggest that Hector and Ray were really, really close. And Ray is at the point where he's going back into this darker side, which he has really tried to get away from. For somebody who only we as an audience know, met him once and they hung out in a cabin at Big Bear while he felt better. So I guess my hope as a fan is that as the season goes along, we get more scenes between the two, between Hector and Ray, that show us how they got close. You know, obviously they have a shared experience of both having been abused by priests and have that to bond over. But I think there's more to it than that. And maybe I'll save that for predictions, but I think we're going to see a lot more in the future from Hector and Ray. Of course, we got to see more of Mickey, who is my favorite character on the show. I think John Voight is just hilarious, and he makes this show. He really does, and in all actuality, he's kind of going back and doing the same thing over and over again. There was this really great article written by Brian Tallarico on Vulture.com about Mickey, and what he says is quite hilarious. He says, I'm quoting now, he says, "Cut to eternal F-up. Mickey Donovan on a casino rooftop in a small town just outside of Vegas. He's doing the only thing he knows how to do, run a scam." And I think that's exactly in a nutshell, you know, what this character is all about. And if you haven't been to Prim, Nevada before, I've actually stopped there with friends of mine driving to Vegas. It's an hour outside of Vegas, and there's two casinos on either side of the highway, and its drinks are super cheap, and, you know, the gambling tables minimums are like $5, so you can go in, and there's a Denny's inside of Buffalo Bills, which is the casino where they shot at. So it's really a rundown place, not some place that you want to go and stay and enjoy a Vegas weekend. So it's perfect. I thought it was a perfect setting for Mickey if he's just kind of trying to disappear and make his own way. But yet he's fallen back into doing the same things that he was doing before. And at this point, I want to see more from him. I want to believe that the character is growing because he seems to just do this same shit over and over every season. And to some degree, that is true to the character because he continues to mess things up for his family, his sons, and you can see the damage that it has wreaked upon his family, not only with the Manassas family last season, the shootout, Terry having to go to the hospital, but even Terry's Parkinson's, we've seen in previous seasons, has been blamed on Mickey and teaching his son how to box, but not seeing the warning signs about him getting hit too much. So Mickey is just, he's still not learning out there, and he ends up doing some peyote, which is a hallucinogenic drug, and there he is just running down a highway after punching some bouncers inside of Buffalo Bills and gets caught by the police, which is great for Detective Muncie. She's right there, and I think she does a great job in the role, and she's like the final episode, final scene in this show was hilarious because she goes, "I got you, motherfucker." And that made me laugh. And then they cut to black. It's such a perfect way to end the episode. And to be honest with you, I was excited that Mickey got caught. I think it gives him something new to do. And there were some allusions to the Armenian mafia not quite being done with Mickey yet. Though, in a way, I kind of wish that that whole episode would be over. I mean, I love seeing the pressure on the Donovans. I think it brings them closer together. We saw with at the end of the last season where Mickey goes running in to the Manassas family restaurant trying to shoot up the place, and Ray and Avi are sitting in the car, and Ray says, "Forget it, let's go, let's help him," and they save Mickey, and they take out the whole family. So I thought that was such a perfect way to end that storyline. So I'm hoping Detective Muncie has something different in store for Mickey, rather than just going back and trying to, you know, get the Manassas family totally arrested or taken off the streets. Before we get in on the next topic, I want to remind you guys, please subscribe to us on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up there. It helps us with our subscriber base, lets us know that you're out there listening. And then also please use the hashtag ABTV Ray Donovan out there on Twitter and Instagram, or commenting directly on our YouTube page. At the beginning of every episode of our after show, I will go through the Twitter comments and read your tweets out on the air, because I think your feedback about not only the episode and our after show, but about the storylines that are going on within the show are always really, really valuable. And just in my past experience on doing these shows, we've got some great, great listener comments. So go ahead and use that hashtag out there, ABTV Ray Donovan. Next storyline point that I want to cover while we're here is Abby and her breast cancer storyline, which came out of nowhere for me. And you know, full disclosure, I am not an Abby Donovan fan. I thought the character is not redeeming. I've never really liked her, despite the fact that she really hasn't done a lot wrong to deserve the things that have happened to her. But her actions since that point have been, I've never rooted for her. I've never said, oh, good, go cheat on your husband because he's cheating on you. Or when she made out with Terry last season, that just was such a turnoff. And now, this plot point where she has stage zero breast cancer was a little bit confusing to me, so I had to go look it up. And I went to the Cancer Treatment Centers of America website, and, you know, the information on this is pretty staggering, and I want to quote this so that you guys have it. The question on this website says, what is stage zero breast cancer? And it says, at stage zero, the breast mass is non-invasive. At this stage, there is no indication that the tumor cells have spread to other parts of the breast or other parts of the body. Often, here's the big point, often stage zero is considered a precancerous condition that requires close observation, but not treatment. So for Abby to have her world destroyed over stage zero breast cancer, and there's more facts on here. The 5-year survival rate for stage zero breast cancer is 93%, meaning that almost all women diagnosed with stage zero disease will live for at least 5 years after being diagnosed. In fact, women diagnosed with stage zero breast cancer usually live long and healthy lives. So this is kind of a great big ball of nothing, and Abby, just her world is destroyed by it. And I just want her to get a different doctor. I mean, which doctor told her, you know, that she's going to lose, you know, have to have a procedure to lose her breast? I mean, it just doesn't make sense from a logic standpoint. So I was a little bit disappointed by that. And I only looked into it because I've never heard of stage zero breast cancer before. Of course, we've all heard of later stages, and the higher the number, the worse it is. But to hear straight stage zero was strange and an interesting choice. So I think I have to believe that further explanation is coming down the road as the characters learn about what stage zero breast cancer is. So that was a very, very interesting plot point, and just feeds my continual Abby hate, my unfair Abby hate. But in all reality, I mean, and Paula Malkinson does a great job with the character, and she's an awesome actor. I've liked her in just about everything that I've seen her in. Obviously, she's in Hunger Games, which is really popular. She played Katniss's mom and has been, is a very, very successful actor. So this isn't a commentary on her as an actress or her performance whatsoever. I just think the character itself just seems to be all over the place. Now, one character that I really, really like, and I think the writers have done a great job with in a real sense, is Karis Dorsey's character, of course, which is Bridget. Bridget has, at the end of last season, you'll remember, she had this storyline where she was hooking up with, or attempted to hook up with, her math teacher. And eventually, at the end of the season, her math teacher and her made out in a hotel room, and Ray came busting in and got her out of there, which at that point, Bridget said, I'm out of here, I'm done, I can't live with you. And so what we've gathered from this first episode is that she's been out on her own. She hasn't been living with her parents. And Ray, in a really, really good scene between two really good actors, asks her to come to dinner, and that's all he asks, you know, and he doesn't really give a reason, but just says, you know what, I'm a different person, I'm controlling this, and I think what he was saying in that is that I'm controlling my anger, and I'm recommitting myself to my family, and I think that's a genuine desire on his part, and she feels it, and so she agrees to come to dinner, and when she shows up, he's not there right away, and you can see it, and this is a great credit to Karis Dorsey. You can see it in her face when she asks where her dad is at dinner, and everyone kind of looks around and doesn't really say anything. There's a realization on her face, like, oh no, here we go again. I mean, I've been fooled again. And it actually reminded me of a scene in The Wrestler, a movie that came out several years ago with Mickey Rourke and Evan Rachel Wood, where Evan Rachel Wood has been abandoned by her father, and he's trying to reconnect with her and bring her back into his life. And they set up a dinner date, and he doesn't show up. He gets, you know, he does drugs, and he loses the opportunity to reconnect with his daughter. And I was happy that Ray made it for dinner. I was amazed that there's so much story that happened between the time when Bridget shows up for dinner and Ray actually shows up later. I mean, this show, if anything, just does not give credence to the reality of Los Angeles traffic. Their house being in a hypothetical, what I have to believe is like a Calabasas or an Agora Hills, and Ray seems to be doing a lot of work down in the seedier areas of LA, and it would take forever to get back home. But I will suspend my disbelief in that moment to give them credit, because it was great. It was great to see them reunited at the dinner table. And for Karis Dorsey, who has such an honest face and a great ability as an actor, to say so much with saying so little. And I thought also Pooch Hall, who plays Daryl, was so funny at the dinner table, because Ray says, you know, I love you all. And there's a kind of an awkward pause, and he goes, we love you too, Ray. Like, it was just so well-timed and perfect and funny. And he's the only one to say it, which makes it even funnier. And you go, yeah, thanks, Daryl. But they're all together. That's what matters at the end of the episode. They're all together. And I think that's the real statement from this episode, that Ray's going to make an effort at this. And he's going to make a real effort to be a father and try and put things back together. There are warning signs there, of course, given the events with the police officer and Hector being in love with his half-sister. And, you know, Hector obviously kidnapped a police officer in a hotel room. You guys know about the action there. Ray had to go and buy liquor and polish off a bottle of whiskey with the police officer who Hector knocked out and tied up in order to get Hector out of the situation. So, I don't think Ray is all in the dark world anymore. I think he had to do it in this instance because, you know, Hector was somebody that he loved and he cared about and had bonded with before, but it's not something that he wants to do anymore. You could see it on his face. He comes home at night and he cries. And I think there's a realization that, you know, maybe this is all I can do. As a man, is this what I'm here for? And, so I think one of the more interesting things about watching this show now is going to be the struggle between the darkness and the light in Ray. Is he going to walk toward the light and away from, you know, fixing events like crashing a police officer into a wall and then moving the guy over into the driver's seat, you know, for money, in order to make sure that his client is protected? At what point does Ray break and just say, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this for you anymore, because I think the desire is there. And I really hope that this season we see a new Ray Donovan, someone who's turning away from the dark and seedy events, of previous seasons. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens to him there. Another interesting part about this that we got a brief preview was the art dealer, Sonia Kavitsky, who noticed Ray looking at Girl with Guitar, the painting that was featured in our first episode here, which was clearly an allusion to Bridget. Bridget plays guitar, and Mickey actually had visions of her wandering through the casino in his drug-induced hallucination. So this episode was clearly all about Bridget. And I think for Kavitsky to send that painting was a brilliant move, because Ray goes to meet with her and says, you know, I don't want your money. I don't want to bribe a police officer. Why would he do that for somebody that he doesn't even know? He doesn't need the trouble. And Muncie's already after, Ray for Mickey's location. And Ray honestly doesn't know and really doesn't want to have any involvement with her, So Kavitsky finds a different way. She sends a painting to Ray's house, and Ray can't return it now because Bridget sees it. And now Kavitsky has provided an opportunity for Ray to further bond with his daughter. Whether or not she realized it when she sent the painting, it has become a more valuable token to Ray because Bridget loved it and said, "Oh, Dad, you know, you didn't have to do that, but it's there." And Ray doesn't say, "Oh, you know what, excuse me, that has to go back. I have to return that." He sees the joy on Bridget's face when she sees the painting, and he goes along with it. So clearly Kavitsky is going to be a bigger part of the season, as well as her assistant, Jacob Waller, played by Gabriel Mann. And if you remember The Bourne Supremacy, Gabriel Mann was actually one of the members of the CIA who gets killed at the end of the movie. He did a great job in there. He actually had a buzzed head in those movies. And in these, obviously here he's got full head of blonde hair, and I barely recognize the guy. So he did a really good job in tonight's episode. I mean, all of the acting across the board was really fantastic. And also I thought the scoring tonight of the episode with the different types of music that heightened the tension, that gave us a unique feel was incredible. And one of the really, really best scored episodes of TV that I've ever seen, to be honest. And if you get a chance, go back and watch that episode again and just listen for the music and the way that it affects the scene and your perception of the action. The scoring of the show can really, really add to the way that you perceive events. And that was evidenced by Game of Thrones, if you watched it, and it's also evidenced here in Very True. So I wanted to highlight that. Just great work from the creative team there. And they always find interesting ways with music to add to our understanding of the show. Actually, during the hallucination scene with Mickey, the head singer girl at the casino is crooning "Can't Get It Out of My Head." You know, very concept of a sleazy casino where a lounge singer only does ELO covers is kind of fascinating, isn't it? It's pretty incredible. So, you know, Mickey and the music that is guiding him only furthers the scene. And if you look into the scoring of the episode, I bet you you'd find some interesting and fun clues about where the show is going. So finally, you know, I just want to say I'm so excited about what's to come for Ray Donovan. This has been one of the highlights of summer for me and watching this show. It's such a great way to end every week. You know, you come home on a Sunday and you get your week started off right with an episode of Ray Donovan with a truly talented cast, really good action. We've always seen great action with Ray Donovan where they make you think the action is going one way and then it's completely turned on its head and goes another. And we have a big wild card this season in that Ray is actually wanting to reconnect with his family. He wants to be a better person, and I hope he wins. I hope he struggles to win. So you know what? I might as well move into my final segment here. I've been alluding to this all night, but I want to make some predictions for you guys to see what's coming.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So I'm going to go ahead and predict that Ray is going to lose his battle between the darkness and the light. I think this is his world. This is what he knows how to do. And he knows how to fix things. And no matter what the emotional cost is on him and his family, this is what he does. This is what he knows. And he's good at it. And I think there's an argument to be made that when you're good at something, that's what you pursue. I can remember in Breaking Bad, one of the scenes in the final episode, Walter White is there with his wife. And he says, and she says, "Why did you do this?" And he said, "I was good at it." And I think that's sort of playing in here. You know, Ray Donovan is a flawed man, but he knows how to fix things for high-end clientele, and that's what he's doing yet again. I'm rooting for it to go the other way, but I think the way that this show has always been, Ray Donovan is a top-end fixer. He's great at it, and we will continue to see that as the season goes along. I would also like to predict that we get to see more Lena and Avi, who I think are great characters. They're so good. They're some of my favorite characters from the early seasons. they were sort of minimized last year, and I want them back. I want more of them. I think Lena is great, and such an interesting character, and we got one scene with her with this episode, but I really want to see more from her, because she is really talented and a great actor, but her character existing within the scenes and playing off of Rey is always a highlight. I always sit forward in my seat when she comes on screen. So I'm hoping for more of them as well. Mickey got caught, so we've got to make a prediction about Mickey. I don't think Mickey is going to be going back to get involved with the Manassians. I think Muncie has something else in store for him that's going to be surprising. It'd be very easy to think that she's just going to bring him back and try and get back with the Armenians and capture more of the ships that were bringing in girls. But I think there's something else in store that's not going to involve jail. I think Mickey is going to be put up to come into a new criminal underworld, which we're going to meet last week, and find out where Mickey's direction is going this year. He's out of Nevada. Sadly, I really like seeing all the casinos while the episode was going on. So I think he'll be back in LA and causing trouble for Rey and his family for many, many episodes to come. So a lot more headed our way. I think Abby's stage zero breast cancer diagnosis, I think that's going to be proven to be false, just because it's very easy to look up and to know that stage zero breast cancer is not as bad as, you know, stage four or something much more advanced. So, you know, it's very early stage, and I think she's going to be okay, but it's going to affect her in a really negative way, and Ray's going to find out, and he may look into it and say, you know, there's nothing wrong here. You know, what's bothering you? So that's obviously going to be her overarching storyline, but I ultimately don't think it's going to be a big deal, and she's going to be okay, and she's going to be healthier. I believe a big role is coming for Kavitsky and the art dealership for Rey. I think it's more than just bringing in a set of paintings through customs so that Kavitsky doesn't have to pay taxes. One of the great lines from this episode that gave us a clue was Rey saying, you know, he looked around, he's like, look around, you've got the funds, why don't you just pay the taxes? And she said, there's more to it than that. So I think there's going to be a mix between clients here. Rey is going to have the Kavitskys on one side, he's going to have Hector on another, and he's going to be, again, everywhere at once, which was the big clue with the direction in tonight's episode. So it's going to be a great season. Be sure to tune in to AfterBuzz TV all season long. We'll be here every Monday night doing a live episode recap. Next week on Sunday, McCall and Olivia will be here doing the recap for you guys, as we won't be here on July 4th. But we really want to thank you for listening in. This has been your AfterBuzz TV After Show for Rey Donovan, Season 4, Episode 1. Be sure to tune in every week. Like us on YouTube. Be sure to tweet at me at Let's Go Frank M, or follow me on Instagram. We'll be reading your tweets on the air all year long. Until then, be blessed, and we'll see you back soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.